Tell More Truth. This is RealThought.com, The Week in Georgia, in English, coming to you from the Lower Haight in San Francisco, Left Coast. Today is Thursday, the 19th of January, 2017. On this date in 1806, Britain occupies the Dutch Cape Colony after the Battle of Blauwberg. 1920, the U.S. Senate votes against joining the League of Nations. 1981, the U.S. and Iran sign an agreement to release 52 American hostages. 1986, the first personal computer virus is released, called C-Brain. The virus was created to spread on IMB computers by the Pakistani brothers Basit Farooj Alvi and Ajmad Farooj Alvi, who later claimed they did it to protect software they'd written from piracy. 2007, Turkish-Armenian journalist Hrant Dink is assassinated outside the newspaper's Istanbul office by 17-year-old Turkish ultranationalist Ogun Samsa. Birthdays are Edgar Allan Poe and Janis Joplin. Today is Orthodox Epiphany. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. This podcast is written by Joe Larson. Thanks again for posting on our forum. Most of all, Suzanne Shannon. Not sure what discussions she's talking about, but we certainly support discussions. If you'd like to comment on the forum or ask a question, go to tpeelpod.com or send us an email at tpeelpod@gmail.com. It's official. The national movement has broken up. A group of party figures announced late last week that they were quitting and forming a new party. They include former National Security Council Secretary Giga Bokeria, former Tbilisi Mayor Guy Ulava, and former Parliamentary Chairperson and Foreign Minister Dato Bakradze, current Executive Secretary Sergo Ratiani, MPs Elena Khoshtaria and Sergei Kapanadze, several other notable members of the party. Khoshtaria was the chairperson of the party's smaller six-member faction in Parliament. Kapanadze is the Deputy Speaker of Parliament. They haven't named the new party. They said that it will compete in the 2017 municipal elections. All in all, 20 of the national movement's 27 current parliamentarians quit the party and 59 members quit overall. They cited irreconcilable differences with Misha and his camp, and Ugulava went so far as to accuse Misha of being the party's undoing. He said they need to focus on opposing the personal and informal rule of Bidzina over the country, and that Misha is his own problem now. Ugulava did thank him for helping him get his start in politics, though. Bakradze refrained from making personal remarks about Misha, instead commenting on the emotional difficulty of leaving a party he'd been a member of since 2004. He also expressed openness to work with the national movement's remaining members to oppose Ivanishvili's regime. Those who left the party will form two factions in parliament, European Georgia, which will be led by Ratiani, and European Georgia for a Better Future, which will be led by Khoshtaria. Misha took to Facebook, calling the outgoing members a bunch of losers that won't be missed, and adding that the whole thing is a failed attempt by Bidzina to destroy the party. Of course. He also made the claim that the national movement is stronger and more united than at any time during the past 4 years. Mugzar Tsiklaori, a close associate of Misha, downplayed the outgoing members as a small group of spazzes who were never that important to the national movement. Anyway, those who decided to stay in the national movement include Nika Melia, chairperson of the party's larger 21-member faction in parliament, Tina Bokuchava, formerly of NDI, Roman Gotsiridze, formerly of NDI, Salome Samedashvili, not Zurabashvili, and Azer Suleimanov. MPs Koba Nakopia and Ramaz Nikolaishvili haven't announced decisions yet, but they're believed to be closer to Misha. The split will also affect the Tbilisi City Council, or Sakrebulo. Three of the party's seven members in the Sakrebulo left their faction: Mamuk Ahmadiani, David Avaliani, and Tamaz Shoshiashvili. They'll form a new faction. One of the others, Sevdia Ugrechelidze, will become an independent because she didn't want to choose sides in the schism. The breakup started to look possible after the party's poor showing at the parliamentary elections in October. The Misha-led wing with the national movement pushed for the party to boycott the new parliament on the grounds that the election was rigged in favor of Otsneba. Another wing of the party, led by Bokeria and Bakradze, urged everyone to participate in the new parliament, even though they felt that the election process was unfair. The divide deepened in late November when Misha supporters narrowly won a vote to hold a broad party-based party convention where 7,000 party members will be able to vote on the party's new leader. Most believe that that format will help Misha in his bid to stay the party's de facto leader because the voters and regular party members basically support Misha. The Bukeria Bakradze Ratiani wing of the party was in favor of replacing Misha and replacing him with Bakradze. The party convention will be held on the 20th of January. Tato Bakradze is a very nice guy, but he was not a particularly strong chair of parliament during the time that he was there, which means it's not clear exactly who would have been running the party if he had run it. Following up on visa liberalization, the European Parliament's Committee on Civil Liberties, Justice and Home Affairs, or LIBA, approved the visa liberalization agreement reached between the European Parliament and the European Council back in December. The agreement will establish visa-free travel within the Schengen zone for Georgian passport holders, as well as a visa suspension mechanism that EU members could use to temporarily block visa-free travel in the event of an emergency. Now the agreement just needs to be approved by a plenary vote in the European Parliament, which will hold its next plenary session in February. Following up on the new agreement with Gazprom, the Coalition for Euro-Atlantic Georgia, a group of 23 civil society organizations that includes the hardest working NGO in the South Caucasus, Transparency International, who is instrumental in putting the group together, they criticized the deal, issuing a statement on the 12th of January asserting that the new agreement harms the country's energy security and that justifications provided by the government are not satisfactory. The coalition called on the government to disclose all the details about the agreement and hold a special parliamentary hearing to discuss it. They complained that the negotiations were not transparent and that the government should have consulted Georgian and foreign experts during the process. In particular, they want to know why accepting cash payment as a transit fee for allowing gas to pass through Georgia on its way to Armenia was unacceptable in 2016, but is now an optimal policy in 2017. Could it be that there were elections in between? They also want a public disclosure of the transit fee that Georgia will receive and assurance that the fee is in line with the requirements of the European Energy Community, a body that Georgia joined late last year. After the Coalition for Euro-Atlantic Georgia released their statement, President Mark Velashvili criticized the deal too, saying that it's bad for the energy sector and for the country's political and economic interests. A statement from his spokesperson, Eka Mishveladze, echoed those concerns, saying that any deal with Gazprom is more than just a business arrangement. It's first and foremost a security and foreign policy arrangement, and the economics come later. The president's office called on parliament to come up with a plan for minimizing the geopolitical risks associated with the agreement. The Republican Party and National Movement also criticized the deal. The Republicans said it's unprofitable and politically dangerous. The National Movement called it an act of capitulation. Economy Minister Gheorghe Gakharia and Energy Minister Kahi Kaladze have addressed some concerns about the agreement, which will go into effect at the beginning of 2018. For example, Gakharia told media that Georgia won't be required to purchase any gas from Russia, but it will have the option to do so in the event of a shortfall from its main supplier, Azerbaijan. Kaladze said that if Georgia chooses to purchase gas from Russia, it will pay $185 per 1,000 cubic meters instead of the standard price of $215. They still haven't released details about the cash value of the transit fee that Georgia will receive. However, I'm guessing that's important. The issue is that by receiving a cash payment instead of gas from Russia, the chances of Georgia facing a shortfall increase, and if Azerbaijan can't meet that shortfall, Georgia will have to purchase additional gas from Russia. In travel to and from Georgia, U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry made a surprise visit to... One other thing about this gas deal is that it requires payment from Russia, and what happens if Russia doesn't pay? With the gas can just be taken out of the line. If Russia doesn't pay, what's Georgia supposed to do? An important question, because obviously cutting off the gas to Armenia would hurt Armenia a lot more than it would hurt Russia and would be viewed as a breach of contract. Anyway, in travels to and from Georgia, U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry made a surprise visit to Tbilisi last Thursday. His plane made a technical stopover at Tbilisi Airport. He held a brief meeting with Deputy Foreign Minister David Zalkaliani. Foreign Minister Mikhail Janelidze visited Lithuania on the 2nd and 13th of January to participate in the annual Winter Security Conference hosted by the Lithuanian Ministry of Foreign Affairs. He also met with the Parliamentary Speaker Viktoras Pranketis. Minister for Euro-Atlantic Integration Viktor Dolidze met with NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg in Brussels on the 17th of January. Prime Minister Kvitekashvili and Economy Minister Giorgi Gajario are in Spain this week to meet with Spanish Prime Minister Mariano Rajoy and King Felipe VI. They also attended the International Tourism Trade Fair. The Prime Minister met with Florentino Perez, head of the leading international construction company ACS Group. Perez expressed interest in potentially getting involved in infrastructure projects in Georgia. From there, Georgia's delegation flew to Davos in Switzerland to attend the annual World Economic Forum, which wraps up on Friday. Delegation from the Council of Europe's Venice Commission, which focuses on constitutional law issues, will arrive in Georgia on the 20th of January. The delegation will be led by Commission President Gianni Buccicchio, and they'll hold meetings with Parliamentary Speaker Irakli Kobakhidze, President Mark Velashvili, and other senior officials. South Ossetian President Leonid Tibilov spoke at the annual defense conference in Tskhinvali, a highly important defense conference that is, I'm sure. He hailed recent measures to integrate South Ossetia's armed forces with those of Russia, saying they created a single line of defense and that the military partnership strengthened Russia's geopolitical presence in the South Caucasus. Speaking at the same conference, Defense Minister Ibrahim Gassiev made clear that South Ossetia will keep a number of independent combat units too. The integration of part of South Ossetia's military with the Russian military follows from an agreement signed between Tibilov and Putin in March of 2015. South Ossetia also announced that it will hold its next presidential election on the 9th of April. Incumbent President Tibilov will run for his second five-year term. His main contender is expected to be Anatoly Bibilov, whose United Ossetia Party holds a majority in the Legislative Assembly. There have also been reports that ex-President Edward Kokoiti plans to run as well. Kokoiti differs from Tibilov primarily in that he opposes making South Ossetia formally a part of Russia. Tibilov, on the other hand, has lobbied hard for merging South Ossetia with North Ossetia and the Russian Federation. When voters go to the presidential polls, they'll also have an opportunity to vote in a referendum on renaming the region South Ossetia-Alania. Former parliamentary speaker Dato Usupashvili, who quit the Republican Party after it failed to get into the new parliament, spoke about his future plans in an interview with TV Kirveli. He said he and his associates will establish an important political party to compete in the next parliamentary election scheduled for 2020. No, don't do it. He also said they're considering running for municipal elections, but he ruled out running in the 2018 presidential elections or the 2017 elections for Tbilisi mayor. He also said he's open to cooperating with former members of the national movement. Igor Girgadze, who was security minister from 1993 to 1995 and well-known KGBishniki, is suing Democracy and Freedom Watch for an article they published in July which referred to him as public enemy number one. Girgadze has lived in Russia since 1995 and is widely believed to have been involved in a failed assassination attempt on then-president Edward Shevardnadze that same year. Prosecutors could never link him to the crime, but the charges were never dropped either. Democracy and Freedom Watch's editorial staff believe his suing of them is part of a longer game to move back to Georgia and potentially get back into politics. In the high hopes that Igor will try to sue Tfilpod.com, I'd like to be on record saying that he is an extreme scuzzball. The government signed an agreement with Turkmenistan to use Georgia as a transit corridor for Turkmen oil products. 1.5 million tons of oil will be transited through Georgia each year, according to the agreement. Georgia has been a transit corridor for Turkmenistan before the August War of 2008, which led the Turkmen government to look for other routes. EBRD is putting up 6 million euro to co-finance a new bridge that will straddle the Georgia-Armenia border. Construction will begin this year on the bridge. It will pass over the Debed River near the village of Sadakhlo. Geostat has numbers on international trade during 2016. Total trade for the year amounted to just under $12 billion, 21% increase from 2015. Exports fell by 4%. imports grew by 28%. In other words, the current account deficit increased by a lot, causing problems for the lari. As we well know, statistics for trade sector haven't been published yet. National Bank of Georgia published data on remittances during the month of December 2016. Total remittances totaled $119 million, up 16.7% from December 2015. The largest sources were Russia, the U.S., Italy, Greece, and Turkey, in that order, with Russia accounting for more than $41 million. $18.2 million were transferred out of Georgia during December. National Agency of Public Registry registered 60,223 real estate transactions during the month of December, a five-year high, and an 8.7% increase from December 2015. The CEFC China Energy Company Limited signed a memorandum of understanding to purchase 75% of shares in the Poti Free Industrial Zone, which was majority owned by Rakia, a United Arab Emirates-based company until last year. The Chinese company plans to make further investments in the industrial zone, and it will be part of the Chinese government's One Belt, One Road initiative, which aims to strengthen infrastructure linking China to Europe. The Kuwaiti Fund for Arab Economic Development signed an agreement with the government to invest $27 million in road infrastructure projects in Ajada. The money will go to rehabilitate a 29-kilometer stretch of the Hulo-Goderzi section of the Batumi-Akhaltsikhe Road. For those of you who have not taken it, it's traditionally a pretty rough road. It'll involve reconstructing four bridges. The total cost of will be $35 million, with the government coming up with the other $8 million. It's part of the Prime Minister's four-point plan for economic development, which puts a big emphasis on infrastructure. In this case, the government believes that improved infrastructure will help boost tourism in Goderzi, a ski resort in Ajada. Georgian wine producer Shilda signed an agreement with a Chinese company to export 5 million bottles of wine over the next 3 years. Roughly 5.3 million bottles of wine were exported from Georgia to China during 2016, nearly double the amount from 2015. Batumi is getting a Subway restaurant, which will be Georgia's first Subway, located outside of Tbilisi. Company's representative, Givi Ordonidze, said the franchise has been awarded to a local businessman in Batumi, but there's also talks to award a franchise in Kutaisi as well. The Umbrella Udi Airport in Racha is officially open for business. It has a 1.1-kilometer runway. They can serve planes carrying 15 to 20 passengers, although the Prime Minister's press office said it can be expected to handle larger planes in the future. State-owned Energy Development Fund announced plans to build a 150-megawatt wind power plant in Zestaponi. The fund is now accepting bids for the project, which they estimate will cost $227 million to build. 50 turbines will be installed, and the plant will be able to produce 478 million kilowatts per hour. Once finished, it will be Georgia's second wind power plant, following the Kartli wind power plant that was built near Gori in 2016. Tbilisi received its first children's hospice this week when First Lady Makachichua unveiled the new facility in Dihomi. The hospice center can accommodate 10 children at a time, as well as their families. Construction of the hospice started in 2015 with the support of the Open Society Georgia Foundation and funding from the President's Reserve Fund. Weightlifter and Olympic gold medalist Lasha Talakhadze is one of the six finalists for Weightlifter of the Year, a fan-selected award organized by the International Weightlifting Federation. Voting will run through the 21st of January. Come on, Georgia, let's pull a Zaza Pachulia in the NBA All-Stars deal with Lasha. New York Gladstone Gallery will host an exhibition by artist Andro Vekoa from the 26th of January through the 25th of February. It will focus on his contemporary art exhibition, A Dog's Fidelity. He lives in Switzerland, so spells his name with a W, ironically, to prevent the people there from calling him Andro Vekoa. In parliamentary news, the Republican Party, which is currently part of the non-parliamentary opposition, proposed legislation this week that would make femicide a separate crime from murder. It would be considered a gender-based hate crime, so especially grave. According to the party, the aim of the proposed legislation is to protect women from violence and ensure equality for men and women. National Democratic Institute, NDI, published the results of the November 2016 public opinion poll, which was conducted by the caucus's research resource centers and focused on the recent election. 40% of the respondents said that Otsneva was the party closest to them, even though only 24% of the eligible voters cast votes for them in the parliamentary election. 10% said UNM, fewer than the 14% who voted for them. The biggest discrepancy is the 47% of respondents who said they voted in the parliamentary election. Official turnout was 51.63%. The other portion of the National Democratic Institute poll is devoted to attitudes towards a broad range of issues. 61% said that they approve of the government's goal of joining NATO, which is 7 percentage points down from June. Very sad statistic. There's a lot of information there, so go check that out. It's a pretty comprehensive report and quite interesting. The Clarion publishes a partner post from the Caucus's Research and Resource Centers, authored by former senior researcher Natia Mesrishvili. She addresses public skepticism of survey results, reminding us that public opinion surveys report on perceptions of reality, not reality itself, so criticism of results are often misguided. She welcomes constructive criticism and suggestions for improving methodology, but says that most criticism comes from people who don't understand the methodology and are upset because the results don't confirm their pre-existing opinions. Tom Duval writes for the Carnegie Europe about the EU's policy of engagement without recognition of separatist territories, including Abkhazia and South Ossetia. The EU has been especially successful in Abkhazia, where it has helped the region maintain some connections with the outside world and gives the EU and Georgia some leverage vis-a-vis Russia. South Ossetia, by contrast, has resisted any interaction with foreign countries, save for Russia. Financial technology website Cointelegraph has an article on the Bitcoin company Bitfury, which is increasing its presence in Georgia. Bitfury will partner with the government, which it has a serious inside deal with, to implement a new blockchain project this year. Blockchain is an encrypted online network that the government will use to restore real estate documents and data. Democracy and Freedom Watch publishes photos from Sunday prayers at the Orta Jame Mosque in Batumi. The city's Muslim community has been lobbying for decades to get permission to build a second mosque for its large number of believers, but so far haven't had any success. Misha is interviewed on Rustavioti, a program called The Choice. He talks about the recent breakup of the national movement, blaming it on the shadowy influence of, you guessed her, Chester, Bidzina Ivanishvili, who he calls a Kremlin-ordained oligarch. He also says that Georgia needs new ideas to counter Bidzina's influence, that money, power, or lies won't be enough. An important question about the national movement split will be what Nika Gvaramia of Rustavioti does. In the past, he's been very close to Misha, who has some support among the rank and file, but relatively few party leaders behind him. So which side will Rustavioti give a voice to? In a greater degree. Former British ambassador to Georgia, Alexandra Hall-Hall, writes in an op-ed for the Atlantic Council. She addresses concerns that Donald Trump will strike a grand bargain with Vladimir Putin at the expense of Georgia and Ukraine. Fortunately, cabinet nominees James Mattis, Rex Tillerson, and Mike Flynn all at least pretend to have taken tougher stances on Russia during the confirmation hearings, although that's, of course, BS, because Mike Flynn, as we know, the day the sanctions were set, called the Russian embassy in Washington 5 separate times. Lincoln Mitchell devotes his Georgia analysis to the national movement breakup. The big question is whether Bokeria, Bakradze, and Ugulava can build a fresh, new, vibrant party, or whether the public will just view them as old wine and new Misha-free bottles. Misha also needs to chart a new course for his political future. Not sure if he's got any ideas there. He's apparently trying to ingratiate himself with Donald Trump. This could backfire, though, because reaching out to Trump means compromising his calling card, which is unflinching opposition to Vladimir Putin. And as we know, Trump is Vladimir Putin's poodle. All these things to read will be posted on our forum. This week's dive bar number is 130,700. in 79, the cash value in dollars of Georgia's wool exports in 2014, the last year for which statistics are available. It's actually a big decrease from 2011, when the wool exports were worth $562,000. Australia is by far the world's largest exporter of wool. A new online journal platform has launched, Open Caucasus Media. It's co-founded by Ani Nikuradze, Dominic Kagara, and Caroline Sutcliffe of Chaihana, and provides news and commentary on both North and South Caucasus. Check out the website at oc-media.co. A group of Tbilisi residents are participating in the Women's March on the 21st of January in unison with the march in Washington, D.C. Roughly 370 related marches around the world. I'll be going to the one in San Francisco. Marchers are gathered in front of the Philharmonia at 2 p.m. to stand up for women's rights and human rights, which are especially important given that in the incoming Donald Trump administration. For contact Inge Snip at ingesnip@gmail.com. This will be a very big march. Be sure to participate. Follow the hashtag, which is Why I Marched Tbilisi. That's Y-W-H-Y. I, the letter, March, M-A-R-C-H, Tbilisi, T-B-I-L-I-S-I. Please post pictures and send them to us. The 8th annual Burn Supper and Ball will take place a little late this year on the 4th of February at the function site at the Funicular Complex starting at 6 p.m. Tickets are $100 each, with proceeds going to a number of charities in Georgia that can care for vulnerable people, the elderly, and stray animals. Dress code is black tie for men and evening gown for women, or national dress. For more information, contact Fiona Coxall at Fiona Coxall, that's F-I-O-N-A, Coxall, K-O-X-S-H-A-L-L, at yahoo.com. Tbilisi Toastmasters Club is reconvening after taking the winter holidays off. The next meeting will take place the 25th of January at 7:30, Hangar Bar. They're a great group of people, and the meetings are an excellent way to improve public speaking skills. If you're interested in participating, send an email to Tyler Green at Tyler, T-Y-L-E-R, dot Green, G-R-E-E-N, at B as in Bravo, F as in Foxtrot, Consulting, all written together, .com. For Friends of Georgia in the UK, the Tbilisi Heritage Group is holding its next meeting on the 1st of February at 10:30 in London. The meeting will focus on the publication of a report on threatened buildings in the UK, which features photographer Richard Davies. For those of you who aren't familiar with the Tbilisi Heritage Group, they're an organization fighting to protest to protect Tbilisi's architectural heritage and integrity, based in London. Transcaucasian Trail Expedition leader Tom Allen is giving a public lecture at the Royal Geographic Society in London on the 1st of February. It's free to attend. Just send an email to go, that's G-O, Golf Oscar, at RGS, Romeo Golf Sierra, .org. Two members of the British Georgian Society, Steve and Ani Gregson, recently toured Georgia by bicycle, and Steve will give a talk about their journey at the Georgian Embassy in London on the 25th of January at 6:30 p.m. Georgian wine will be provided after the talks. Free to attend, just send an email to info@BritishGeorgianSociety.org. Also organized by the British Georgian Society, author and trade unionist Eric Lee will give a talk about his upcoming book, The Georgian Democratic Republic of 1918-1921. He focuses on the Georgian Republic as an experiment in both socialism and multi-party democracy. The talk is on the 22nd of February at the Georgian Embassy in London, starting at 6:30 p.m. If any listener goes, let us know what happens. I'd be interested to hear a report about him and his new book. It sounds very interesting. The French Institute is offering courses in French at various levels of proficiency. Starting on the 31st of January, the courses will be taught in English. To register, send an email to Manana Iashvili at manana.iashvili at institutefrancais.ge. The Francais is F-R-A-N-C with a schwa, A-I-S dot G-E. Very impressive. American Research Institute in the South Caucasus, or ARISIC, ARISIC, is organizing a number of teleconferences, networking sessions to bring together scholars of South Caucasus from around the world. Each session will be led by a moderator. For more information about attending, go to arisc.org. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is @txtbuk. Our email is tfieldpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.tfieldpod.com. And we will finish with, in honor of tomorrow's inauguration, from 1964, from Los Angeles, California, this is Frank Zappa, one of his first recorded songs, and How's Your Bird?